Hare Krishna. Rescuing Nanda Baba from Varuna Loka. The variegated, all-attractive pastimes of Krishna increase the pleasure of those who derive happiness from hearing the expert narrations of the Puranas. Upon hearing Krishna's thrilling exploits, one realizes that all other stories are worthless. Because Krishna is an overflowing reservoir of all good qualities, hearing about his activities gives full satisfaction to the ears. His splendid, all-attractive, transcendental form, gracefully curved from head to toe, is worthy of everyone's respect and everyone's worship. Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill enchanted the whole universe. The simple wives of the Braja Gopis are famous for relishing pastimes with Krishna that are far more intimate than all the pastimes of Lakshmi. On his forehead, Krishna wears brilliant tilak made from kunkum, and his curly dark blue hair is beautified with magnificent ornaments made from bakul flowers. Krishna defeats thousands of cupids with his sweet beauty, and he brings ever-increasing good fortune to the Braja Gopis, who are expert in the 64 arts. Krishna protects the world from the disturbance of proud atheists. Shiva and all the other devatas glorify him for devastating the demonic descendants of Aditi. He satisfies the hearts of all observers with the exquisite pearl necklace sitting on his glistening dark blue chest. He is called Nandanandana, the beloved son of Vrajraj Nanda. Krishna is also known as Govinda because he lifted Govardhan. He's Govardhan Dhriti. He lifted Govardhan to curb the pride of Indra, and because his beauty is enhanced by his natural gravity, he is called also Govardhana Dhriti. The Supreme Lord passed his days enjoying various loving relationships with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Krishna and his effulgent companions continued to perform their pleasing pastimes of herding the multitude of cows. One Ekadasi, Nanda Baba, the king of the Gopas, happily observed a fast. The next day on Dwadasi, he had to break the fast at the right moment in order to complete his vow. But due to a short breaking period, he hastily bathed in the Yamuna River at an inappropriate time, along with a few pious friends of his. Even though he had bathed at an inauspicious time, Nanda Maharaj did not consider it offensive, since he had acted only to honor the Dwadasi Tithi, that time juncture. Following the rules of scripture, he submerged himself reverently in the Yamuna River. But the servants of Varuna angrily arrested Nanda Maharaj and put him in great distress for bathing too early in the morning. Nanda Maharaj had impeccable character, but due to a slight deviation from the rules, he was seized by Varunadev, the lord of the waters. Unaware of his destination, Nanda felt completely distraught. And standing on the bank of the Yamuna, the friends of Nanda Maharaj panicked with fear and confusion. They shouted, "What has happened? What has happened?" Seeing that they could do nothing to help him, they approached Krishna, who destroys all fear, and they spoke to him with great anxiety. O Krishna, who rewards the pious, who punishes the evil, who befriends the distressed, and who delivers those who are bound up, please help us. Please help us. Something tragic has happened. Some proud person kidnapped your father, who is worshipable even by Lord Brahma. He did this while your father bathed in the Jamuna. Oh, mighty Arm One, please save him. Go there and deliver him. Only you can save him from this terrible calamity. The coward men ran hither and thither helplessly on the banks of the Yamuna, and hearing their anguished cries, Krishna considered, this is the irreversible action of the foolish and lowly servants of Varuna. Thinking like this, Krishna submerged in the Yamuna in order to visit the city of Varuna to bless him with his own presence. For some reason, Krishna felt attracted to Varuna, even though he had improperly treated his father, Nanda Maharaj. The young gopis of Gokul and everyone else on the bank of the river fell into depression when Krishna left for Varuna's abode. Though the gorgeous Vrajabasis, the Vraja gopis specifically, did not always see Krishna, because of their intense attachment to him and because they stayed in his village, they felt they lived in the same house as Krishna. And fearing that he had departed for the other world, the gopis lost all strength. They collapsed to the ground. At this perilous time, one moment seemed like a thousand yugas. In this state, the gopis could not hear anything. They could not see anything. They could not say anything. Their minds went with Krishna, and their bodies shook uncontrollably. In a world full of changes, pure love is the only constant. Although withering away due to separation from Krishna, Sri Radhika managed to sustain her life by the power of her Krishna prema. Even though her friends fanned Radha with a lotus and with tal leaves and sprinkled her with sandal water, the Priya Sakis could not reduce Radhika's high fever and separation from Krishna. Luckily, her friend named Murcha, unconsciousness, arrived to extinguish the fire. Seeing the filaments of cotton held under her nose, moving slightly with her breathing, the Sakis understood that Radha still lived. When one smart Saki said, Krishna's coming! Radha opened her eyes and returned to external consciousness with great difficulty. But not seeing Krishna, however, Radhika just stared into space. Her eyes looked like a pair of blue lotuses painted on a canvas. Even though Radhika heard her friend saying, Krishna will be coming in a moment, she thought, if one moment becomes one yuga of time, am I to be blamed for suffering such pain of separation? Not seeing Krishna before her, Radha felt even more anguish. The hot sparks of fire in her heart shot forth as tears mixed with her cudgel and dripped in black streams down her golden lotus face. Krishna, that ocean of mercy, proceeded to the abode of Varuna. Upon seeing Varuna, upon seeing Krishna, Varuna humbly and courteously received the Lord. Filled with affection for Krishna, he worshipped Krishna with argya and other articles. Varuna praised the effulgent Supreme Lord as the reservoir of all exceptional characteristics, as the embodiment of all happiness, and as the very form of concentrated bliss and knowledge. Varunadev said, O jewel of the womb of Devaki, you shine brilliantly among the devatas headed by Lord Shiva. I offer my respects to you. You descend as an avatar to relieve the earth, Ratnagarbha, of her burden. Your handsome form and qualities defeat the attraction of thousands of Cupids. You stand before us as the spotlessly pure and blissful son of Maharaj Nanda. The dust of your lotus feet has removed my covering of passion. All the residents of my city have now become purified by your auspicious presence. Today, my birth has become successful. Due to possessing fabulous wealth, my knowledge had become covered. Therefore, I could not understand your infallible position as the master of Maya and the controller of all devouring time. O Madhav, O creator of all the universes, you should not keep men like me blinded by your illusory potency. Even the best Muni cannot surpass your Maya. O killer of Agasura, you have all desirable characteristics. Though my servants think themselves very clever, they do not have a drop of intelligence. They have committed a terrible act by bringing your father here. Yet at the same time, they have bestowed a great boon upon me. Indeed, I offended you, who are so rarely attained by anyone in this world, and due to pride, I violated the rules of conduct. By keeping the dust of your lotus feet on the crown jewel as the crown jewel on my head, however, I may nullify the poisonous fever caused by my severe offense. O Lord of Lords, your splendid complexion easily conquers the glistening trunk of a young tamal tree. Lord Shiva, the father of Kartikeya, and all the demigods, they worship you, whose eyes are beautiful lotus petals, who has a splendidly contoured belly, who radiates a dazzling effulgence, whose graceful arms extend to your knees, and who wears a gorgeous forest garland. I worship that super excellent transcendental form. Hare Krishna.